Appreciate the good song and the good testimony and what I felt in my heart. I do ask for your prayers. I do have some scripture that I want to share with you this morning. And if you would like to read with me, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings chapter 7. And I would like to read a short scripture reading from that chapter, 1 Kings chapter 7. And I'm going to begin reading with the 15th verse there. This chapter in 1 Kings chapter 7 talks about Solomon and the building of the temple. And I want to read something that was done particularly in the building of the temple. So 1 Kings chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. "For he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either of them about. And he made two chapiters of molten brass to set up on the top of the pillars. The height of the one chapiter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other chapiter was 5 cubits. And nets of checker work and wreaths of chain work for the chapiters which were up on the top of the pillars, 7 for one chapiter and 7 for the other chapiter. And he made the pillars and 2 rows round about upon the one network to cover the chapiters that were up on the top with pomegranates, and so did he for the other chapiter. And the chapiters that were up on the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. And the chapiters upon the 2 pillars had pomegranates also above, over against the belly, which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows around about upon the other chapiter. And he set up pillars in the porch of the temple." He set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. "And he set up the right pillar and called the name Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. And up on the top of the pillars was lily work, so was the work of the pillars finished." And that concludes my reading there, having read verses 15 through 22 of 1 Kings chapter 7. And I want to speak today about some things I believe about these two pillars that were there used in the construction of the temple that Solomon built. And I know that when we think of a pillar, we think of something that is, generally we think of it being something fairly tall. Now these two pillars, we are given the dimensions of them. They, in height, stood 18 cubits. And so these two pillars, they were about 27 feet tall, each of them 27 feet tall. And I want to use for a title today, Stability and Strength. Stability and strength. And I want us to think about something being stable and also being strong. Now, again, we think about pillars being a support. We think about, when we think about them on a building, we think about columns standing. Generally, you do see them at the front of a building. And that's the way that they were designed here with the temple. Here in 1 Kings chapter 7, it talks about them in connection with the porch of the temple. I like the way that it's put in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, where this account also is given. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And he reared up the pillars before the temple." And so it's going to be important to note and to remember that these pillars were in the front of the structure. They were before or in the front of the temple. He reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. And again, here we're told that he gave them these names. Now, these pillars, it might seem strange, in building a building such as the temple was, it might seem strange in putting something in that building such as these two pillars and giving them names. But certainly there was a great reason why this was done. Now, we can read in the Bible, we know that there were men in the Bible that were named Jachin. We know of at least two men in the Bible that had that name Jachin, J-A-C-H-I-N, the way it appears in the English translation of our Bible. And of course, we know of a man in the Bible by the name of Boaz. But now I'm going to tell you something that I believe here. I certainly don't believe that these pillars were named after those men. I don't believe why that they were called Jachin and Boaz. I believe that they were named that because of what these two names mean, because of what they signify. And I want to share with you what that is. The name Jachin means "he shall establish." And the name Boaz means "in it" or "in him is strength." And so that's what these pillars represented or signified or symbolized. Strength and stability, or strength and establishment, however that you care to look at that. And so I want us to think about this. Now, as I said, we commonly think of pillars standing. You generally don't see them standing alone. When you see pillars used in a building, you generally see the pillars there and something, usually an extension, usually like a porch resting up on them on the front of a building. But although that pillars do that, and we can, we can read about there in the book of Judges, we can read about how that when they took Samson and they put out his eyes and they made sport of him and they stood him there in that house of the Philistines, they stood him there between two pillars. They were the support of that house. And, Samson asked that, he be guided and that he be placed there between them and his hands actually, because they made him to where he couldn't see, and he asked that they would actually help him to place his hands, up on those two pillars, one on the right and one on the left, and they did that. And the Bible tells us about how that, Samson, he asked God for strength one last time, and he bowed with all of his might, and he by moving the pillars, he caused the house to come down and killed all those Philistines. And so, the only way to bring the house down, and I believe there certainly is a significance there, because the only way to bring the house down was to knock out the support, to knock down the pillars. And certainly in a sense, that's true concerning the house of God. But when we think about these pillars and we think about what they mean and where they were and what they were used for, then we can have the idea and the thought that when someone approached the temple of the Lord, when someone approached the house of the Lord, there would be something there at the very front. There would be something there at the very entryway to the house of the Lord that signified stability and strength. And, you know, I would like to, for us today, to think about the house of God, not in the sense of the temple that Solomon built there in Jerusalem, but to think about that in as it applies to the spiritual house of God today, or the church of the living God, because there are certainly two things that a church needs to be. Every true church needs to be a church that's stable and a church that is strong. And you know, may it always be, and may we do all that we can as members of this local body, as members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, may we do what is necessary and do all that we can to assure that there will always be stability and strength among us. Because I'll tell you what, we live in a world that's really wavering. We live in a world where there's less stability, it seems. We certainly live in a nation, and this has been mentioned plenty here lately, but we certainly live in a nation where things don't seem to be very stable, do they? And those that, we ought to be able to look to, those that ought to be guiding this nation in the right direction are not doing that. And so as our society becomes weaker and weaker, and as our society gets further and further away from God, it just becomes more and more important all the time that the church of the living God be able to supply strength and stability to all those that we can. Because I'll tell you, I believe the church, and the fact that God is still leaving us here is what's holding the world together. Now, you know, you can believe that or not, but that's exactly what I believe, that it's what the church does, the work, the church herself, the work of the church, what the church stands for and preaches and teaches, that's the last stability, really, that seems to be left in the world today. And so we need to remain that. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, in verse 41, and I'm sure that most of you have read how that Paul went from church to church. Well, I'll read the verse. And he went through, that being Paul, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, the Apostle Paul, you know, he was a great missionary, and he went from place to place under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, from city to city, and he preached the gospel there. And there were people in those places that believed the gospel and repented of their sins and were saved. And through the work, the missionary work of the Apostle Paul, there were churches that were organized in these different cities. And then Paul visited them, and he did what the Bible says. He confirmed the churches. And what he was doing, and what that means is that he was establishing or reestablishing or strengthening those churches. And I'll tell you what, we need strong churches. I mean strong. We need churches that are strong and established in what we believe. Listen, as a church and truly in our individual Christian life, we need to know exactly what we believe about the Word of God. And if you don't know what you believe on a certain, doctrine, concerning a certain doctrine, or something of that nature, you need to get into the Word of God and you need to find out what you believe. And when you find out what you believe, you need to be willing to stand on that. I'll tell you what, God doesn't need a bunch of wishy-washy people. He doesn't. He needs people that are established in His Word. I wrote down a definition. I copied this from my favorite dictionary, Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language, American Dictionary of the English Language. To establish, to set and fix firm, unalterably, to settle permanently, to settle or fix what is wavering, doubtful, or weak, to confirm. Like I said, as what the Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul going about to confirm or establish or strengthen those churches. And so something that is established, I mean, we use that term oftentimes when we're talking about a business. You may be talking about some type of business and somebody say, well, that, you know, they've been around a while. They've done a good business. They're well established in the community. And so, you know, something that is established is something that's firm, something that's standing, you know, something that has some reliability to it. And certainly, that's what we need to be. We need to be sure that we provide the truth, amen, to everybody that is willing to hear. Let me tell you something. The truth is so important. It is so important that if a church ever leaves the truth, if a church ever departs the truth, that church is of no use to Jesus Christ. No use. And I believe if what we read there in the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation concerning those seven churches of Asia, if we come away from that with anything, it's that a church that does not uphold the truth and does not stand strong and does not represent the Lord in His Word is of no value to Him. And the Lord won't stick with a church when they depart that, will He? You know, we find in those examples given to us there, you know, Jesus walking in the midst of those churches. And you know what? He's able to see the things that are wrong, isn't He? Jesus has vision like we don't have. When He walks among the churches, He's able to see those things that are wrong. And we read there how that He would speak about those things that with some of those churches that they were doing right and they were doing well. But then He would say, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because of something that you're not doing, because of something that you have departed from. And He said, would tell them to strengthen that and reestablish that, or I'll be gone. The truth. You know, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, spoke about the church as being the pillar and ground of the truth. And we have to maintain that. And I'm telling you something, folks, listen. The truth is more important than you and I. It's more important than any relationship. It's more important than any friendship. And listen, if you have to stand against somebody that you've considered to be your friend, or if you have to stand against somebody that is your family in order to uphold the truth, if we're not willing to do that, then we should not be the servant of Christ. The Apostle Paul put it this plainly. He said, if I should seek to please men, or if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now those that, you know, throughout the years, those that have been established and strong in the Lord, have had to stand at times when it was very unpopular to stand. They've had to stand at times when they had to become unpopular among people that they considered friends, when they had to become unpopular among people that they considered family, but they were willing to stand because they loved the truth more than they loved anything or anybody else. You know, I've used this example before, and I believe it's a good one. You know, the Bible tells us, Paul speaks about it in his own words, how that he had a great love for Timothy. But you know what I believe? I believe there's proof in his writings that he loved the truth more than he loved Timothy. Because Paul had suffered greatly for preaching the truth. He had suffered many things in his ministry because that he preached the truth. But yet when he wrote to Timothy, he wanted him to do the very same thing. And don't you think that Paul realized that when he told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Don't you believe when Paul exhorted Timothy that way to preach the truth, that he realized that it could put him in the same danger that he had been in for doing that? He obviously was more concerned with the truth going forth than he was even the safety of young Timothy. Jesus left the church here in the world to preach the truth, didn't he? And we don't need to be backwards about it. We need to make a stand. No matter what they do to us, we need to make a stand. And I'll tell you what, those that have really loved the Lord and His truth through the years have done that. They have made a stand. They have been established. They have been strong. They stood oftentimes in the face of bitter persecution and even death. If God is willing, here in just a few days, having been asked to do so, I'm going to try to stand at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church at the minister school and present a lesson on the persecuted saints of God throughout the years. And I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that there have been people that have been strong and established and love the truth and love the Lord more than they even love their own lives. We owe them a great deal of gratitude today for what they've done for us. We need to be Jachin and Boaz. We need to be established, and we need to be strong. Now, I'm not talking about strong in ourselves, and I'll tell you what I believe more than anything about those two pillars. They did not represent men. They did not symbolize human strength. They symbolize the establishment and the strength that there is in God. Not in us. Because we're weak. And you know, the Lord is where we have our stability. And He is where we have our strength. 46th Psalm, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is our refuge and our strength. He's the one that we can run to and cling to when we need to make a stand. And I'm telling you, folks, listen, no matter how difficult that it may be at times, if you'll really hold on to God's unchanging hand, He will help you to make a stand. Now, I don't believe we can stand without Him. But with Him, I'm convinced that we can, and people have throughout the years. Thank God for those throughout the years that have been Jacob and Boaz in the Lord, because they leaned upon him. David, you know, David was a great warrior. Y'all comfortable? I hope so. I may preach a while. David was a great warrior. He was. He was a great soldier in the army of the Lord. But you know, he never did believe that his strength was in himself. If you read the 27th Psalm, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life." And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be really strong, you better be strong in the Lord. He better be your strength, or you're not going to be strong. If you want to be established, I mean truly established, if you want to be a stable person, you better be established in the Word of God, because in the philosophy of men, you're not going to have stability. It's too wishy-washy, isn't it? You know, some of these great moral issues that are facing us in our society today, you know, you hear of people more and more all the time that are wavering. Wavering. People that are in positions of leadership and they're wavering. They won't make a stand. One minute they believe something, but you know what? When it begins to grow unpopular, they change. You know what the Bible says about a double-minded man? James said he's unstable in all his ways. We don't need to be like Reuben. You read the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, and Jacob, speaking to his oldest son, to his firstborn Reuben, he said, "Reuben, you are as unstable as water." We don't need to be like that, do we? We don't need to be like what the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul said, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15 said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And certainly that was written by a preacher, and it was written to a preacher. And certainly it's important for all of us that have been called of God to preach, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's also important for every child of God to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Listen, if you don't know anything about God's Word, when the preacher stands before you and preaches it, you won't know if you're being told the truth or not, will you? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Come to Sunday school. You know, our Sunday school attendance has been down lately. Sunday school, a great opportunity to come and study the Word of God. A great opportunity to hear the good teachers that we have chosen here as a church to teach the respective Sunday school classes. A time when you can raise your hand and ask a question or make a comment. The format that we use is designed as a very good study aid. Come. I encourage you to support it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I really liked what Brother Ernie said this morning, speaking about our forefathers of the past here in this nation, getting up in the morning and studying God's Word. Before they go to bed at night, studying God's Word. not watching Rizzoli and Isles or Law and Order, but studying God's Word. You see, we have come up with so many inventions that distract us, haven't we? And we say we're making progress. We've come up with so many tools, it seems, that we use to take us away from the things that are really important. I'll tell you what, you won't ever be really established in God's Word if you don't read it and study it. You won't ever hear enough just hearing the preacher. You've got to study to show yourself approved unto God and know what you believe. We need to be like the Bereans. You know what? They heard the apostles preach. Those people in Berea, they heard the apostles themselves preach the Word of God. And the Bible says that those people searched the Scriptures daily whether or not those things were so. They examined even what the apostles preached to them to find out and make sure that they were being told the truth. Why do we need strength? Why? Why do God's people, why does the church need to be strong? Because we have a great adversary. The Apostle Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out to mess up our influence in our lives, isn't he? And he knows exactly where you're weak at, believe me. He knows exactly where to attack. And so we need to be strong. But as I said, not in ourselves. We need to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Apostle Paul exhorted to them, to that church at Ephesus, to put on the whole armor of God that they might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And folks, I'm telling you, in the world that we're living in today, if we're going to make a stand for the Lord, we better strap on the armor. We better have it all on. We better have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We better have on that shield of faith. We better know the Word of God and be on our knees praying for God to strengthen us and to help us to stand. I want to close with this thought. These pillars, Jachin and Boaz, establishment, stability, and strength. Listen, when Israel departed the teachings of the Lord, when they stopped worshiping God, you know what God did? He stepped back, he withdrew his protection, and he allowed the Babylonians to come in and overtake them. I'll tell you what, America better be thinking. She better be thinking. When they stopped honoring God, when they stopped being strong in the Lord, when they stopped standing for God's Word and just doing their own things and worshiping whatever they wanted to do, God just stepped back and he allowed them to be taken into captivity for 70 years. Listen, during the third siege of Jerusalem, during the kingship of Zedekiah, when the Babylonians came and besieged Jerusalem that time, you know what happened to these pillars? They were torn down. They were broken pieces. And the brass that they were made from was carried away to Babylon. 2 Kings chapter 25 will tell you all about it. You know what? We only lose our stability and our strength when we turn away from God. That's what causes the pillars to fall. That's what caused those to be broken in pieces, because they turned away from the Lord. Jachin. He shall establish Boaz in him, his strength. May people always be able to approach, and I'm not talking about our beautiful building, may people always be able to approach Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church and see her as a place of stability and strength. May we always be a soul-saving station. May we always be a place where the people of God can come and replenish and refill and get ready to go out and fight the battle again. May it always be that people can come here and get the truth, because that's what we need. That's what we need to be able to stand. I love to read the accounts of the saints of old, that no matter what anybody did to them, they could not shake them from the foundation they were on. They could threaten their very lives. Some of them, they told them, "We will burn your body up. We will tie you to the stake and we'll burn you if you don't denounce your faith in Christ." And they were so strong in the Lord, they'd say, "Well, light the match. I'm not going to turn against God." Oh, what strength that people have found in the Lord. Can you imagine those that were able, while the flames begin to kindle, they were tied up, they began to burn, and they were just praising the God of their salvation. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, I'll tell you what, don't look back at those people as if they were any different than what any human being has ever been. Because I'm going to tell you, the way that they withstood those things was they grabbed onto God, and He gave them the grace and the strength to be able to stand. That's where they found their strength, and that's where they found their stability, and that's where it still is today. It's in the Lord. Those pillars just represented it. They were not the strength. They were just pillars, but they represented what God is able to do for us, to give us strength and to make us stable. I appreciate your attention. You know, I hope and pray that we are willing to stand. I pray that we are willing to stand for the Lord. I'm not talking about standing in hatred, but I'm talking about standing just the same. Stand for what's right. We need to be like Josiah. When it comes to what's right, we don't need to stray to the left hand or to the right hand. We need to stay right on course with the Lord. Let's have a song.